Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all, and like Pastor Simone said, thank you so much for prioritizing. Because truly, the reason why we even have all these celebrations, let's never miss it. It's all about the Savior that has come to our planet for every single one of us that is here this morning. So we are here to celebrate Jesus. We are here not for a tick and flick. We are believing, even this morning, God's going to speak to our hearts. God's going to touch us afresh. As he does. That's the reason why the Lord came to earth. You know, today, I was just thinking this morning as I woke up, this day is not just important for earth. This must have been a really important day in heaven. Seriously, think about it. When the darling of heaven decided that it was time with the Father to come to earth, I would imagine if there's a balcony in heaven, all of the angels would have been looking, what on earth? Where's he going? And here we are. It's because of us. It's because of how much he loves us and how the Son of God has come to redeem us that we celebrate this day. Today I want to speak to us from the thought of a little town and a great Messiah. See, we know that the Messiah was born in the town of Bethlehem. And I don't know about you, but if I chose my birthplace, just take a moment to reflect on that, because none of us really have ever had a choice as to where we are born, right? Nobody here, nobody in this auditorium had the say, as this is where I'd like to be born. You were born wherever you were born, and you didn't have a say. But if you did have a say, where would you choose? Think about it. Some of us are going, I'd like New York. Some are going Paris. And God knows what your favorite city is. Some of us would look up the most livable city in the world and decide to be born there. But today we want to look scripturally. Where did the Messiah choose to be born? You know, there's more than 300 references that are prophetic in the Old Testament around the coming of a Messiah. But there's not very many of them that actually prophesy as to where God chose to be birthed. So today we're going to have a look at that. We're going to have a look at the book of Micah chapter 5. If you do have your Bibles or your phones that have a Bible app, if you'd open up with me to the book of Micah chapter 5, and we're going to read a single verse. Verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." The prophet Micah, nearly 700 years before the birth of Christ, said that God had already predestined. God had chosen a place by the name of Bethlehem Ephrathah, because there was a Bethlehem in Zebulun, and I'll come to that in just a moment, for his birthplace, to bring the one who would be ruler. I need us just for the next few minutes to zone in on a couple of things. I need us never, as Christians in the New Testament, to buy into the lie that this world is out of control. Because the Bible says, even before the birth of Messiah Jesus, that there would come to our planet one to be ruler. Jesus is not waiting for a majority to accept his lordship. He always was, always is, always will be the one ruler. Matter of fact, we go all the way fast forward to the book of Revelations, chapter 4 and verse 2. In the future, it says, John says, "I looked and there was one who sat on the throne." This needs to be the revelation of the church. The church needs to know that in every age, in our age, Christmas 2022 has a ruler, has a governor, has a lord, has a king. That's why even the proclamation of his birth, when they thought he was just a baby, they said, born to us is King of the Jews. You're born a prince, you're never born a king, but he is king all the time. He is ruler all the time. And that's really important for you and I to know, because sometimes we feel like, okay, the world's a little bit out of control. My world is out of control. My emotions are out of control. My family is out of control. My situation is out of control. My circumstances are out of control. Well, today I need to remind us, the Word of God reminds us, there is one who is to be born ruler. He is ruler. He is king. He is governor. Jesus is not having a go. He is King Jesus. He is king over all. Now, it's important that we almost kind of like reverse a little bit to the first prophetic word ever uttered in Scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 3. The first prophecy was a prophecy by the Lord God himself, where the Lord spoke to Satan and he said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. Now listen to that again. He will crush your head. He will crush your headship. He will crush your, he will negate your rule. That's why when Jesus came to earth, he said that the ruler of this world stands judged. Because now there is a new ruler who would be coming to town, who would establish kingdom order forever. You see, darkness reigned, chaos reigned, disease reigned, sin reigned, confusion reigned, darkness reigned over cities, over nations, over continents, over hearts, over individuals, until God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. From the moment that Jesus came to earth, the kingdom has been reversed and things have been put in right order. That's why he is King Jesus. And I want to bring it home a little bit, because his kingship is not just a universal thought out there somewhere. When Jesus came to earth to speak of his mission, I'd love to take us to the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verses 18 forward. Have a look at what Jesus says about why he came to earth. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I just want to stop there. Jesus says, I have been anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. And anointing is an authorization from heaven. That's what it means to be anointed, to be duly dubbed. You know what it means to be duly dubbed? Have you ever maybe called, I don't know, paying one of your bills and you explain kind of like, here's the problem with one of my bills and I'd like it to be rectified. And after you've spent 10 minutes on the phone to some kind of phone consultant, the phone consultant says, sorry, sir, or sorry, ma'am, but I'll need to pass you on to someone else. Ever been there? And then you do that again for the next 10, 15 minutes and they're like, sorry, sir, I'll need to pass you on to someone else. And then by the third person, you're ready to commit either suicide or homicide or something that's really unchristian. No, just me. Don't leave me hanging. I'm just human. Right? And at the end of it, I know where I get to. I get to a point where I'm saying, could you please put me on to the right person who can deal with this problem, right? That's what it means to be duly dubbed, authorized or anointed, the person that is authorized by heaven to deal with. That's all anointed is. So look what Jesus is anointed to do. He says, I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm here to bring good news to those who were socially thought to be nothing. Those who were ostracized, those who are, you know, below others in others' eyes. I'm here to bring them good news. I'm here to bring equality. I'm here, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. Satan has caused so much chaos and brokenness, but I am authorized by heaven to bring healing to every aching heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm the one that's authorized for that. He goes on to say, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind. You see, Jesus came to undo all the works of Satan, everything that the kingdom of darkness has done. Jesus came and undid it. That's why in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Completely destroy, completely undo the works of the devil. That's why I'm telling you today, Jesus is King. That's why the prophet Micah says, there is one who is sent to be ruler. Because Satan is not to have a foothold in your family. Satan is not to have a foothold in your emotion. He didn't come so that we can have church. He came to rule, to bring things back into right order. That's why the angels got together and they had this great proclamation on the day of his birth. Before to tell the world, before this king is dispatched from heaven to earth, you need to know, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Peace on earth means right kingdom order back to earth. You know, you and I, peace can only come into our life, true peace of God, when there's kingdom order. Disorder causes dis-ease, disease. Whether that's relational disease, whether that's social disease, whether that's physical disease, it comes out of disorder. But King Jesus came as the angels proclaimed that he would bring peace and goodwill to mankind on earth. I need us never to buy. Do not buy into the lie that this world or your world is out of order. This world has a king. This world has a ruler. And if you and I line ourselves up with the king, we experience everything that the king has. I want us to know that this king did not come. He didn't come for those who have no need, because sometimes we assess ourselves and we go, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not grand enough. I'm just a nobody. Who am I? Like, who am I that Jesus would do his grand work in me and all of the wonderful things that you preachers talk about? Who am I? I'm just an ordinary person. Well, I'm coming for you. Because like I said to you earlier on, if you chose to be born somewhere, where would you be born? Honestly, think about it even right now. If you chose a city, if you had your choice of a city, where would you choose? Some are going, okay, Venice. I don't know where you choose to be born, but I can guarantee you none of us would be thinking Bethlehem. I mean, if you know anything about the history of Bethlehem, it is one of the most insignificant places on the planet. Now, I need context. God created more than 600 billion planets. Do you know that? Do you know that there's more than 600 billion planets in existence? Do you know that Earth is so miniature, it's so insignificant, it hardly registers among the planets? Now, come out of the 600 billion planets right down to this really tiny planet, but then go into a really tiny, insignificant town known as Bethlehem Ephrathah. And the reason Micah says Bethlehem Ephrathah was because there was another Bethlehem that was in another tribe called Zebulun, but that was big. But this one's a real tiny one, insignificant one. Bethlehem Ephrathah, he goes on to describe, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, you're nothing. You're the least of the least, is really what the prophet Micah is saying. Though you are the least of the least, yet out of you shall come the one to be ruler. When God chose to be born, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory, He literally came to the least populated, the most insignificant part of the planet. That's amazing. Do you find that amazing, or is it just me? I'm mesmerized at that. I'm like, are you kidding me? The King of all creation, the Ancient of Days, the one who was, is, and is to come, the darling of heaven, Emmanuel, the one to whom all cry out, holy, holy, comes in Bethlehem. Do you know what we know about Bethlehem biblically? The history of Bethlehem biblically in the book of Genesis chapter 35, the first mention of Bethlehem. Guess what? This is when Rachel is dying, giving birth to her son. So she gives birth to a son and calls him Ben-Oni, son of pain, child of sorrow. That's Bethlehem. We read again about Bethlehem in the book of Ruth. The entire sceneries around the book of Bethlehem, where a woman by the name of Naomi, meaning pleasant, experiences the most grievous losses that any human could experience. As she loses her husband, she loses her kids, she loses her inheritance. And guess what? That's in Bethlehem. What are we talking about? We're talking about, even historically, it is the most inglorious place. But that is the very place that Messiah Jesus, the eternal God, chose. Why? Is it by accident? Absolutely not. Because what the Lord is saying, I am here for the lowest of the low. I am here. There is no one beyond my reach. No one is too despised. No one is too small. No one is out of bounds. Every single person is to be redeemed and experience the fullness of God. So He would come right there. He would come to the place of the most insignificant. Don't ever write yourself off, my friend. Don't ever say, oh, my history or my knowledge or my character or my past. None of those things mean a thing to the ruler who was born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Would you open up with me? Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In case the past 5 minutes didn't make sense, I hope this makes sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul takes what we're sharing and unpacks it as plain as anything. Have a look at this. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. This is an interesting character attributes of whom God chooses. It's an interesting resume if you're submitting your resume saying, God, I want you in my life fully. It says, number one attribute, God has chosen the foolish. That's interesting. God has chosen the weak. Hello? Anybody here feeling weak from time to time at least? All right, just Will and I. Come on. Anybody else? You know what I'm saying? Well, that qualifies you, not disqualifies you. God has chosen the weak. God has chosen the things which are not to put to shame that which is mighty. He has chosen the base. God has chosen that which is despised, meaning by other people's estimate, exactly like Bethlehem, it's despised, it's nothing, exactly like one of the disciples said when he found out that Jesus was from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Despise, like who would look on that with any kind of esteem? God has chosen that. God has chosen the things which are not to put to shame the things which are. I want to let us know that the heart of the Christmas message this morning is God has chosen those who are overlooked. God has chosen those who are despised and lightly esteemed. God has chosen those who are considered worthless for His greatest work. Hello. I know you came to church today and you thought, okay, it was all going to be cute. It's not cute. But it is true. The Lord of Bethlehem, the Lord who came to Bethlehem, I believe is coming to every single one of us this morning saying, son and daughter, lift your head because the ruler is here to do great things in your life. Great things in your life. We don't worship a mini god. We don't worship a mini God. We worship a great God who only does great things. And this morning, the Christmas reminder of the great ruler, the one who rules all ages coming to Bethlehem, is a reminder that God takes every and any ordinary person and gives them an extraordinary life full of the Holy Spirit and power and the blessing of heaven. God's Christmas message to you, my friend, and to me, is that God will take the smallest and put the grandest destiny upon the smallest, as he did with Bethlehem. I mean, he took a city that nobody would even hear about and make the focal point of the entire world forever. Hello. What can God do with your life and my life from this Christmas forward? What could he do? The one who was born ruler of Israel, what could he do? How has Satan so lied to the church that the church has believed him that it is insipid and can do nothing while the Lord Emmanuel is with the church? How could that be? How could that be? The one who was born ruler. God, I want to tell you today, is absolutely in the habit of choosing the unimpressive. Come on now. God is in the habit. As I read scripture over and over, I could see this God. He is constantly in the habit of choosing the unimpressive. If in your own estimate, you're so impressed with yourself, there may need to be a little bit of work with the Holy Spirit first. You know, I've noticed that there's a group of people that are never impressed with anyone else. It's those who are always impressed with themselves. But then there's a group of people who struggle with, God, well, who am I? I'm just an ordinary person. I want to tell you, therefore, you are the perfect candidate for the power of God, the fullness of God, the blessing of God, the companionship of God, the infilling of God, the destiny of God upon your life. And that's why today I want to remind us, yeah, Bethlehem may be little, but the Messiah is great. It may be a little town, but it has a great king. And your life and my life are exactly the same. We may not be much in our own eyes. We may not be much as humans, but that's exactly who the Messiah came for. I prophesy over your 2023 in the name of Jesus, that every bowed head shall be lifted by the hand of the Messiah, that every weak hand shall be strengthened, that every knee that is ready to be dislocated shall receive strength from the presence of God. I prophesy over you in the name of Christ. The Messiah, the one ruler, that this coming year shall be like no other year, not because of might or power, not because of resolve, not because you and I have gone, okay, we're going to be tenacious, but because the one who was born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the one who was born ruler, is king in your life and your God. The Lord draws a line in the sand. I'm telling you, I'm feeling it in the Holy Spirit. The past will not define the people of God. The things that have troubled you in the past shall not trouble your future, because God is for you. God is coming to sons and daughters today, lifting up the countenance, saying, daughter, go with me. The things that have been said about you in the past mean nothing. I want to let you know. One voice from the royal palace of heaven will dispel, will put to bed, will put under your feet 10,000 voices that have been spoken over you all your life. And the Lord speaks over you this very day. The Lord speaks turnaround and strength and recovery and victory and focus. You say, but that's not who I traditionally am. I know you've been robbed, but no more. You know why? Because the Lord did not come to town to play. The Lord came to redeem. I want to finish off by sharing one last verse. The verse comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4. and verses 4 and 5. Apostle Paul says this. Apostle Paul says that when the fullness of time had come, listen to this, the fullness of time had come. This is it. The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to purchase back, to buy back the right order of God intended for your life and my life, so that the people of God could again be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Things that have had victory over you shall be reversed. Because like Micah said, he has come to Bethlehem Ephrathah, and he comes to every single one of us today. I'd love to pray with us in conclusion this morning. Father, we thank you because you sent Jesus to turn the kingdom right way up. We thank you because he stopped every work of Satan and said that the ruler of this world is judged. We thank you, Son of a living God, that you took on the assignment of being Messiah, Deliverer, the one who was personally authorized by heaven to undo all the works of darkness and to establish righteousness and peace in every life. Thank you that you are not a doctrine. Thank you that you are not a historical story. But thank you, Son of God, that you are alive. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that it is prophesied over you. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. Thank you that that salvation is effective right now, 2022. We celebrate your coming to earth. We celebrate that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We celebrate the victorious name of Jesus. And Father, we declare that just like Bethlehem was tiny and insignificant and nothing, despised and foolish, weak and absolutely nothing by human estimate, that because of the presence of the one who is ruler, everything changed, not only in Bethlehem, but our life. So in the name of Jesus, we commit to you, Messiah, the rest of our lives. We ask you to bring back into right order our emotions. Bring back into right order our priorities. Open up the access of heaven over your people, that our greatest delight would be your presence. God, we ask you for an outpouring of your Spirit, an infilling of your Spirit upon your sons and your daughters. We ask for an awakening of the church. Father, bring back right order where your church walks in the power of the gospel, walks in signs and wonders to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, to cast out demons. May your name be glorified. We honor you and we give you all the glory.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.